Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, July 7th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 69, the second paragraph, In This Way We Tried, and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Let's see. Okay. I just lost my place here. Sorry. Oh, today's readers are Jody E. will be reading the 12 steps. Audrey M. P. will be reading the 12 traditions. And the readers of our text are Pam M., Naomi B., and Robin P. The share ID for Tuesday, July 6th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 17,297. 17297. And for this morning's Wednesday, July 7th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, share ID is 17306. 17306. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Jody E. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, and thank you, Kathleen. This is Jody E., gratefully recovering in California. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to be of service.
And thank you, Jody E. Thank you, Jody E. Audrey M.P., good morning. Would you please read the 12 traditions?
Good morning, Team Wednesday. This is Audrey M.P., gratefully recovering with all of you from Southern California. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group but never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Audrey M.P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 69. The second paragraph that begins with, "In this way we tried," we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And good morning, Pam M. If you could get us started, please.
Blessed morning, OA family. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. Gratefully recovered, living in 10, 11, and 12. In this way, we try to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. We subjected each relation to this test. Was it selfish or not? We ask God to mold our ideals and help us to live up to them. We remembered always that our sex powers were God-given and therefore good, neither to be used lightly or selfishly, nor to be despised and loathed. So let's break it down a little bit. It says that our sex life should be sound and ideal for our future. So for me, this is helpful. It's helpful for me to write down what is sane? What is ideal? What would God have me be in each relationship? And I have found that this is a great technique to use not only for people that I've had sex with, but also people that I have had romantic relationships with, and even with other relationships. And I like to ask the question, what are my ideals for my gender or for this person's gender? What am I identifying as being? How am I feeling like I have to play the role of a female? Or how is this person feeling like they have to play a role of a male? And how are we getting locked into these gender roles? The Big Book goes on to say we should ask ourselves, is my role in this relationship or my motivation in this relationship selfish or not? These are good questions to ask. We may have never asked them. And then it says that we should ask God to mold our ideals. That means that we get quiet. We make conscious contact with our higher power and ask, really ask. And it says that our sex powers are God-given and therefore good, which that statement's big because it says, first of all, that sex is a power, a lowercase power, but it's a power, and that it's good. So that we should not be ashamed of our sex needs or desires as long as they're healthy. I mean, consider the life-giving power of sex. It's powerful. Says that we should not take sex lightly or selfishly. What is the opposite of lightly and selfishly? Seriously, right? Or heavily and selflessly. And then it goes on to say we should be giving in our relationships. And it ends with saying not to be despised, that sex should not be despised or loathed. And what's the opposite of that? Respected, honored, revered. So I hope that we all use these techniques in all of our relations. And thank you so much. I pass.
And thank you, Pam M., for getting us started this morning. Okay, we're on page 69, the second paragraph, In This Way We Try. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share who has not shared in the past 3 days?
Maureen S. in New York.
Who from New York?
Veronica B.
Who is that from? I got you, Veronica. Who's from New York?
Oh, thank you. It's Maureen F.
Maureen F. is in Frank, Maureen?
S is in Sam. Sorry.
S is in Sam. Sorry. Okay.
Thank
and
you.
Veronica B.
Eileen M.
Eileen M.
Carol F.
Carol, F is in Sam.
F is in Frank.
Funny how I mix those up.
Deb E.
Deb E. Okay, we will stop there. I have Maureen S., Veronica B., Eileen M., Carol F., and Deb E. Go ahead, please, Maureen.
Thank you so much. Good morning. This is Maureen S., recovering in New York. I really enjoyed these past several days' readings about sex conduct. For me, it helps. I really love how it says to apply this to all the relationships. So it really doesn't exclusively have to be with just my partner. It can be for everyone. And the biggest part of it for me is selfishness, because even though I would tell you that I'm not a selfish, or people might think I'm not a selfish person, oh my word, when I'm in recovery, I see my character defects and I'm actually a really, really selfish person. And in the area of sex, I I'm still working on it, but because I'm always thinking about myself, I'm not enjoying to what it should be the extent of my sexual relationship with my partner, because I'm focusing on, oh, I look, you know, this way, or, oh, this is a flaw in my body. And I'm really learning that that's just pure selfishness. And I didn't really realize that until I learned that in recovery, that selfishness, it's not about me being, although I'm insecure, the root of that is selfishness because I'm focusing on myself. So that really helped me. This paragraph really helps me today to not think about myself, especially in this area. It'll really bless my relationship if I can really stop doing that. So thank you for letting me share. I so appreciate it. I'll pass.
Thank you, Maureen S. in New York. And Veronica B., you are up, followed by Eileen M. Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And thank you, Kathleen, for your service. And I've really enjoyed the shares these last couple of days regarding this subject of romance, the romance department in my life, and then recovery has definitely been the one that's brought me the most pain. And what I mean by that is this whole process of the inventory is for me to see where I've been selfish and where I see that my troubles are of my own making. And 2 years ago, I made a very selfish choice. And I went out because I was feeling lonely. And that is, I'm not going to find my forever man when I'm in a state of feeling lonely. And against everything in my being, I went out with a man that I knew was not the right man for me. And it cost me a lot of pain, almost 2 years in this relationship. And nowhere in that relationship did I ask God for his help. Nowhere in that relationship did I ask my girlfriends for their opinion, because my very close girlfriends, they love me. They're in program. They all live spiritual lives. My choice was all selfish. And in my gut, I knew it was not right for me, and I just kept going against God's will. I kept going against God's will. And a sponsor said to me, oh, this is not going to end well, you know, because I really didn't want to hear it from anybody. And then I had a sponsor ask, what do you have in common with this man? And I would get angry at her because all I had in common with this man was sex. That's it. That was my number one. That was the number one thing for me. I didn't care about his values. They did not align with my values. I did not care that he didn't have a spiritual life. I have a spiritual life. We were just on different footings, and I was very selfish in choosing that relationship for myself. When I don't have God in my life, I make very poor choices. And today, by working the steps again, and thank God, I've deepened my connection with God, because I trust God in all areas except the romance area. Except the romance area. And I pay a big price. Today I'm dating God. Today I am dating God. And thank God. He is helping me get stronger. He's bringing my spirit back to life, because that relationship really broke me. It broke my spirit. And these steps are absolutely miraculous. And thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. And Eileen M., you're up, followed by Carol F. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks so much. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in Lebanon, New Hampshire. And, I really like this. When I was doing my sex inventory, one of the first things I did was, before I did any kind of writing, is that I would ask God for help to reveal to me what I needed to see. And one of the questions in the inventory that I was asked was, what is your motive, or what was your motive of being with this person? And, you know, to ask myself what my motives were, that was very eye-opening, because really in the end it's all about motives, right? And I remember this one relationship I had with this man is that I wanted career advancement, because, you know, he had these skills like in IT, he was an IT guy, and, you know, I didn't have those computer skills, so I just thought, well, you know, if I just, you know, go out with him, I'll be able to get, you know, help on the job and, you know, possibly career advancement. And I also, you know, I wanted to get acquainted with, like, the right people. You know, I was new at this company, and I thought, well, you know, if I get with him, he knows the people that I should be with, right? And that's all self-will, you know, and I didn't even realize, you know, I didn't realize what I was doing. But, you know, I never asked God if that was a good thing for me to do. You know, I never went to God for that, you know, as someone said that earlier. And, you know, when I asked God for what the ideals were for my future relationships, you know, is I have to ask for help to live within those, you know, ideals, you know. And, you know, I was the kind of person that I really didn't think I had much effect on other people. I was so busy looking at their behavior and what they were doing wrong that, you know, I never really looked at, like, how I was affecting them. And that was so eye-opening, that question about what are your motives, you know. And it kind of helps me in the future. It's like, what is my motive for getting into a relationship with someone? So I'm really grateful for this process. So thanks so much.
And thank you, Eileen M. in New Hampshire. Carol F., you're up, followed by Debbie. Good morning, Carol.
Hi, good morning. This is Carol F. from Redmond, Oregon, recovering overeater. Thank you so much for making this meeting possible, and thank you for everyone who has shared on this particular topic. This was my other big addiction. Throughout my life, I've dieted in order to get a boyfriend, and as soon as I get a boyfriend, I start gaining weight, and pretty soon things go bad. And when I read this page for the first time, which was many years ago, it was a real game changer for me, because I came to understand that I was so full of shame. I had a lot of abuse in my childhood and so on. And it just generated so much shame around sex and sexual relationships that I was really not present for anyone, any partner or romantic, potential in my life. I just couldn't be there. I was just so distracted by my own internal turmoil. So when I read that our sex powers are God-given, that was like a real game changer for me. And I'm just so grateful that this book came into my life, this program, and I could see through the selfishness and the pain that I had caused myself and others, and began to live according to my ideals. Which I do today. I feel good about myself, my sexuality, my relationships with others, and I'm able to say no to what doesn't work for me, and to say yes to love. So I'm very grateful. Thanks. That's it.
Thank you, Carol F. in Oregon. And Debbie, before we take you, just want to remind everyone we're on page 69 this morning, the second paragraph in This Way We Tried. We're taking some more names after Debbie. So go ahead, please, Deb.
Thank you. Hi, this is Debbie, recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. I want to start by thanking everyone who's been sharing over the last few days on this. You know, when I looked ahead last week to see what we're going to be sharing on this week, how much do I really want to share? How much am I going to share? And the level of honesty has been so heartwarming and so helpful. It's always so helpful to hear other people share from the heart, because I feel like that's really where the recovery is, and that's how we help each other recover. And it was really kind of mind-blowing for me early on in recovery when, I don't even remember who said it to me, but it basically told me to, it kind of challenged me to look at my body, not in a sexual way, but just as, just in its basic form, you know, to be grateful that my legs can take me places and that my hands can pick things up and that my arms can move and reach. And when I thought of my body in that way, it just changed everything. I was so used to thinking of my body in a sexual way, and whether it was attractive or not, whether it was acceptable or not, always in terms of attractiveness, right? Not was it acceptable in a functional way. And switching to looking at it as a functional thing really helped lift all that anxiety really and that pressure about thinking it had to be a certain way and it had to look a certain way. And then the next level up from that was understanding that my body is really just a vessel for the spiritual being that I am. You know, I'm first and foremost a spiritual being that needs to connect with a higher power. My body is just there to help me navigate this world in a physical way. But it's really secondary to the spiritual side. And, you know, I've also been taught to use this part of the inventory not only for sex relationships, but also just, you know, the core relationships in my life and, you know, how do I want them to be? How do I want them to look? How have I been acting in them? Where have I been selfish? And it's, you know, I really didn't think I was selfish at all before I came to OA. I didn't see how someone like me, who was always putting everyone else first, could be selfish in any way. And it's kind of disappointing, I think is probably the best word I can think of right now, of how selfish I am. Even when I think I'm being concerned for others, if I really dig deep, I realize that it's really, I'm concerned about how it's going to affect me, you know, and that is selfish. And I've noticed also over the last few years, I've really dug deeper in this whole part of the inventory and realized that it's not just, you know, with the opposite sex that I've had issues and things to write about. I realized, like, the girls I was friends with growing up, a lot of those relationships, I didn't choose them well. You know, when I look back now, seeing them differently with more mature eyes, I realized that they were, a lot of them were kind of like, feel like I was used quite a bit, you know, for them to kind of bolster themselves and feel better about themselves. And it's interesting to look at all that, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Debbie in Israel. Okay, we're on page 69, the second paragraph in This Way We Tried. And if you have not shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share today, I'm ready for your name.
Stephanie L.
Stephanie L. Star one to unmute.
Elaine B.
Elaine B.
Imelda T.
Was that Imelda T?
Yes.
Okay.
Sarah N.
Sarah N.
Yes.
Okay.
Teresa C.
Kathy B.
Okay, I got Kathy B. And was it? I got the C.
Teresa.
Oh, Teresa C. Okay.
Annabelle Z.
Okay, let's stop there. Thanks for stepping up, everybody. So I have Stephanie L, Elaine B, Imelda T, Sarah N, Teresa C, Kathy B, and Annabelle Z. So go ahead, please, Stephanie L.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And, you know, when I first read this paragraph this morning, it really took me back to what we read on page 62 and, you know, selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles, driven by 100 forms of fear, self-delusion, self-seeking, and self-pity. And, you know, every part of this inventory has been about me looking at how I have impacted other people, how me wanting what I want, when I want it, how I want it, or the fear that I'm not going to get what I want, or you're going to take what I have. It permeates every single part of my life. And, you know, this last time around when I did this part of the inventory, it was less about sex and more about my relationship with my husband. And I really had to look at how, you know, my selfishness has
you know, harmed my husband. In the previous paragraph, we looked at, you know, the unjustifiably arousing jealousy, suspicion, and bitterness, and really looking at that. And then after looking at my part and seeing my character defects and seeing how I've hurt others, I get to look at what I get to ask God to mold my ideals, to show me who God would have me be in my relationships, and especially with my husband. And then I get to ask God for the power to live up to it. You know, what kind of a wife does God want me to be? How does God want me to treat my husband? How do I lift him up versus tear him down? How do I put his needs before mine, versus everything being about me and my needs and my desires and what I need to get accomplished? And then, you know, imperfectly, I get to strive towards that ideal that God has shown me. And man, what an amazing opportunity to live differently, to show up differently, not only with my husband, but with every single relationship in my life. What a gift this is. So yeah, it's hard to look at this sex stuff, and yeah, it's hard to look at, you know, the harm that I've caused others. And however, I get to live differently today because of this work, and I am forever, forever grateful for that. And thank you for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Stephanie L. in California. Elaine B., good morning. You're up, followed by Imelda T. Go ahead, Elaine.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. No, thank you for your service and everybody making this meeting possible. Such a gift. So, you know, my conduct had been pretty insane. I got a pretty tilted and twisted idea and modeling of what sex is supposed to be and what it's supposed to be all about. And you know, it was really, really twisted. And yet I had my first spiritual awakening had nothing to do with the steps. But when I had it, I realized, boy, the way I was living was not okay. And I put down the boys, the booze, and the bars, but I picked up Ben and Jerry and lots of other sweet things to sweeten up my life. And I gained 100 pounds. And really, it was a 10-year buffer zone from having anybody become attracted to me, except for one person who 12-stepped me, and 14 years later I married him. But, you know, it's so awesome that we can take something that's completely broken. I didn't have an opportunity. I didn't have a clue. I didn't know what to do until I found these steps to begin to shape a sane and sound ideal. You know, I knew things that I didn't ever want to do anymore. I knew I had harmed a lot of people, but I didn't know how to move ahead because I didn't have any place to go. But now, with access to a higher power, I was able to shape a sane and sound idea deal based on, you know, the God that gave me these sex powers instead of what I see in movies or on TV or what I saw around me, or, you know, those magazines really had an influence on me when I was a kid, very young kid. And it's just so sad, you know, how many things get implanted into us that for me today don't align with my spiritual aspirations and my God-given instincts. They sort of had to be reeled in and refined, and now they just keep getting better all the time, because I'm just like, I had to put a boundary around my food. I had to put a boundary around my my sex life, my sex ideals. And it is just such a beautiful and safe place where I can have so much joy and liberty within those safe bounds. And I also love the idea, I'm so glad the first speaker shared, that we could shape a sane and sound ideal around other things too, by looking at our our behavior in the past, our selfishness, dishonesty, how we've been inconsiderate and things like that, to shape us on ideal. How do I want to show up in this relationship? What are the guidelines for me? I can't control other people, but what are the guidelines for me? And it was so helpful for me when somebody suggested I do this with sponsorship, so that I could see, how am I going to show up as a sponsor? What are my boundaries? How am I going to show up? How can I show up as an employee? How can I show up as a daughter? It was life-changing in my relationship with my parents. And so it's just a beautiful, more clear-cut instructions in this design for living that really works. And this key area is such a beautiful place we can, thank you, show up safely and love others well. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine B. in Massachusetts. And Imelda T., you're up, followed by Sarah N. Good morning, Imelda.
Hi, this is Imelda. I am still a compulsive overeater. And, you know, this reading today, it really touched me. For one, I'm returning back to program. I've been around for approximately 10 years, and I've been back for a week now, and I do have a sponsor. There is a lot of selfishness there on my part when it comes down to relationships. Sex, definitely. That's an area that I know, even in the number of years that I've been around program, honestly, I have tapped into it, but I don't think going on deeper levels, because there's fear. There's fear of who I would have to confront, making amends, and just being honest. Before coming back this time around to program, there was somebody that, and still currently, and still I spoke to just earlier today, that's also in program and trying to stay in program and stuff. And, you know, someone did mention, you know, the word lonely, and that is very, very true. I think for, you know, a lot of, and including myself, you know, for a lot of people that, you know, when we practice our addiction, you feel lonely. You need kind words. You need loving words. And I'm going to be honest, if you hear from the opposite sex, well, that's even better. And so I have been, and, you know, we talk program. Most of our conversation is about program. But still, you know, we say kind words, and sometimes, he's trying to recover, and so am I. And sometimes, we say, the words just get a little mushy, you know. I'm not aligned with my higher power, or I should be right in the center. So I admit I am not God-centered today, so I am self-centered. But I'm hopeful that it will get better, and that's an area that, you know, I really fear to go there, because there's a lot of selfishness going on and have been, you know, with my ex-husband. I'm separated and done the affair things and whatever. So it's just where I'm at today. Today at this very moment, on the other hand, well, I'm doing my best to stay in the solution. I'm doing a program and just trying to claim my seat. And I'm just going to try and work it to the best of my ability. And sometimes it's moment to moment for me right now, because I am coming out of a severe relapse. But it's amazing how the two intertwine when it comes to sex. You know, it's almost like I cover one hole and then they're like, thank you. It's like almost like I cover one hole and then I uncover another one. You know, it's like I have to keep them all covered. But anyways, they're not all covered today. So Anyways, my name is Imelda. I'm in California. My cell number is 626.
Imelda, we'll get that at
At the end.
We don't leave the, sorry. Yeah,
no
we don't
problem.
Leave them on the recording. Okay. Thanks, Imelda. Thanks, Imelda T. in California. And Sarah N., you're up, followed by Teresa C. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. My name is Sarah N. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. Okay. So just for me, my background, I grew up in a very religious home with the teachings that sex was only for within the bounds of marriage. And being the perfectionist that I was, the rule follower, okay, that's what I went with. Well, when I was 27, I got tired of all the guilt and shame of the things that I wasn't doing. I was never good enough. You know, I wasn't praying enough or studying my scriptures enough. And so I finally just ditched the whole religious world and went out into the world, the secular world, I'll say, with so I went from having all these rules, and I was still following that rule around sex. And even though I'd had a, you know, healthy sexual appetite, I hadn't, I was in an overweight body. And so I had the teasing from the boys. So I knew that boys didn't like, you know, fat girls. I got that message very clear when I was young. And even though I was heavy, so then in basically in my 30s, it was like a free for all. Once I let go, I was looking for love. I hadn't found the husband, and so I was still looking for love. And because I had no boundaries, then anything went. And so basically I accepted sex when I wanted love. And I still had that ideal of having, you know, a healthy, intimate relationship, you know, with one person. So that was really confusing to me. So I married a man that I shouldn't have just so that I could be married and, you know, kind of following the rules, even though I didn't necessarily subscribe to the whole religious thing anymore. Finding these rooms and finding this paragraph, doing the work, really helped me to finally come to be able to shape a sane ideal. Not one that was given to me, one that I can sit with my higher power, my creator, and come to you on my terms, you know, my understanding, and accept my body as it is, that yes, there are different needs and natures, but just like the food, you can either be anorexic or compulsive overeater. You know, there's two extremes, and there's sexual anorexia, and there's, you know, the other side. And so I had to figure out what was, you know, what was the right thing for me. And so I'm really grateful for this paragraph, because over and over it did help pull me back. Even, you know, I had that last relationship where also I kind of got to the point of, hey, this is really more about sex. So thank you so much for letting me share, and pray everybody has a great day. Thank you all for your service. I pass.
Thank you, Sarah N. in California. And Teresa C., you're up, followed by Kathy B. Go ahead, Teresa.
Hi, this is Teresa C., compulsive overeater and food addict. This paragraph, when we started to read it, just brought me back to the first time that I did my step four in using the big book. And I remember sitting down with my sponsor, talking about, you know, what my going through my sex inventory, and then talking about ideals. What was important to me at that time too, and well, it's important to me now, is just to understand, as others have said, you know, that selfishness that I had in really all my relationships. You know, what was my part in them not working? Because actually none of them did work very well. And so what was my part in that? And to just get to understand me more. And again, you know, the big book just, to me, is so wonderful, because it really does help me do that self-evaluation, take responsibility for what I've done. And I can remember in the one of the sentences in the middle here, we ask God to mold our ideals and to help us to live up to them. So this is not about what I used to do was like, God, please bring somebody perfect into my life. This is about God, help me to be the person I want to be and to have and to understand the qualities that I need to have a healthy relationship. And also then to evaluate whoever I happen to be with, as far as, you know, what's their part here? Are they, you know, using me? You know, what are my boundaries and stuff? Or can I have really a healthy relationship with them? And I think that's all I have to say, so I'll pass on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa C. And Kathy B., go ahead, please. I'm not sure if we'll have time for Annabelle. If you both take a couple minutes, we should be okay. Go ahead, Kathy.
Hi, this is Kathy B. I'm a compulsive overeater. There's so much that I could say about this. I'll just say the last relationship I was in, I was a people pleaser, and you know, I always have to be the victim in sexual relationships. Like, I will never have the guts to approach anybody. I would have to be, like, coaxed. And then I give in, and then I'm like, you know, this, I don't know, extremely sexual person. Like, but then I act, I'm passive aggressive, I guess. But when I had to do, like, a four-step on my sexual relationships in my marriage, which I've been divorced for 33 years, when I first got sober, and it just, I had to be high to have sex, and it became very sick, the sex, and I always look at it like it was because of him and his desires, and I wanted to do everything to please him. But it's very hard for me to look at my part in it. And until after years of being in other relationships where I have to be approached, and I have to be, you know, the one who's always given in to that person. Like, the past few months, the past year, I haven't been in a relationship at all. And just like, because I was heavily into the food also. And I eat so I don't have to deal with stuff like that. And, when I am in a relationship, I'm in and out of it because I push people away when I'm eating. Then when I'm not eating and I lost weight, I put myself out there. So I'm 66 years old now, so it's not really important to me right now. But the relationship that I would love to have is just somebody who is on the same wavelength as me, and it's not only about sex, and that we have the same interest. You know, that's my dream relationship, and I don't know, maybe I will have it someday, but right now I'm just staying abstinent one day at a time. That's all I have. Thanks.
And thank you, Kathy B. Annabelle Z, I'm sorry we're not going to have enough time for you today, but please come back tomorrow because we'd love to hear your share. Okay, and thank you, everyone, for your great shares. This is a tough topic, so I really appreciate everyone's honesty and really helpful shares to all of us. So we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Naomi B., if you would please read a vision for you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, family. This is Naomi B., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Pennsylvania. Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact of us, for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.